الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى آتاه الله اليقين إن شاء الله this is the fourth khutbah in the subject of the Muslim family and the Muslim home. And in very briefing, to summarize what I said in the last three khutbah, is basically the Muslim home, we live in it, and it has two nature. The first nature, it is we live in it in a temporary basis. And the second, it is the place, the house, where the Muslim character will be developed. And we found out that the Muslim character has four major attributes. Number one, the conscience. And I give explanation about how that conscience, the definition, and how it looks like. And the second, taqwa Allah, the piety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I give explanation about the element of the piety and how we can acquire a piety. And the third is makarim al-akhlaq, which is the best manners and ethics. And the bottom line of the best manners and ethics is to be able to identify everybody's rights and give it to them. That's what the manner and the ethics is all about. the ability to know what is right and to give it to everybody right and give it to them. When you have a good ethics with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means you know Allah right and you give it to them. When you know your parents right and you give it to them, you have a good manner. When you know your spouse right and you give it to them, you have a good manner. When you have your partner, your neighbor, and whatever, and that's why Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّمَا بُعِشْتُ لِأُتَمِّمْ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent but to perfect your ethics and your manners. And the fourth element, I said, the ability. That's the ability to promote good and fight evil. So the house is, that's where the person, the Muslim person, a child or old, will have those developed, have this character developed. And when the second after that, I talked about who is responsible for developing this character. And we found out we have two issues here. The first one, there is exclusive responsibility, which this belongs to the head of the household. That can be the father, can be the mother, can be uncle, can be aunt, can be whomever responsible for the affairs of the head of the household. And also we found out that building this character is still a responsibility of every single member in the household. That means knowing right and promoting right and fighting evil is not the responsibility of the parents by themselves, but it can be also the responsibility of the children. And I give example about that. When they see their parents doing something wrong, like when you see in the incidents of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was talking to his father. He was given a chance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to communicate with his father. And he reached out, وَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ. When he found out that he understand and he deliberately rejected, he took another action. So the responsibility here is not from elders to the young, but it can be collectively from everyone. And I ended up the khutbah by giving some examples last week, and I said there is a basic fundamentals. One of the major common that our family is suffering from now is that what we come and say, the children, they were very good, my spouse was very good, but now they don't listen to me. They are grown up and I cannot even control them. I have no say to say in their life. And even when I talk to them, they talk to me back. Or they are doing a challenging or whatever kind. That means the relationship is real bad. And you need a mediator to get in to solve the problem. Unfortunately, in these cases, you don't need a mediator, because you did not read the message right. What did the message it says? Or what did the principle says? If you yourself in a state of obedience to God, God will make everybody else obey you. Gonna make your child. So the best way, the best ever way to make sure that your children will obey you, that you yourself obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you're gonna find out that you are giving them what Allah wants you to give them, not you are giving them what you wanna give them. You wanted them to respect you or to listen to you, and by another word, worship you. Their nature will reject. Their nature will reject you. But when you are asking them, you are, they see you, they hear you, they live with you, and you are in a state of obedience to Allah, when you come and talk about Allah, their nature will respond. So now, take the rebellion as a tool or as a measure, to measure by you how far you are in the state of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from there we need also to kind of sum and to identify the value of the Muslim home and how it is important. Very, very important is to build that home and to make sure that that home will be stayed in the state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. First of all, the place, the home is the place where you build, like we said earlier, it is the place that you build not only the character, but also it is the place that you stay away from fitna and turbulence. When there is a wrongdoing out there, all you need to do is to, as much as possible, is to stay home. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all blessing to be upon the man when it was turbulent out there, that he will close his door and he will mind his own business. He will not going to get involved with what the people doing wrong. And he will not allow them to influence him or to divert him from the way that he wants to go. Because you never know when you're going to die. And believe me, none of us have the luxury to afford doing mistakes. Also, home is supposed to be the place where to grow the piety. Piety cannot be taught in masjid, cannot be taught in school. But the only place to develop a piety is only on homes. And it is through experience, through the education, through the training, and through the experience, day and in and day out life, how the implementation is, if the parents are. This is why I said the longest childhood known to the mankind of the childhood of the human being. There are some species, it takes less than 4 or 5 hours, and the new baby is running with the herd or standing up. Why the human baby take that long? Because there are values got to be developed day in and day out, day in and day out. And it takes time. And that's what the whole, where the place of that is, in home. Home is where you know, not only you know, but you're going to get trained. And you see the good examples of how to handle forbiddings. How the makarim al-akhlaq, the good ethics going to be. That's when you see in home, not you see in the school, and not you see in the masjid, and not you see in any other organization. Learning patience, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning everything that you need to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When unfortunately we try to make a survey and ask people, okay, would you be kind enough to define to me just with the small terms, and I don't want a big stuff, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And let your children answer it. You would be awful surprised by what kind of an answer you're going to get. And what they know about. Do you think a school or a teacher is supposed to do that? No. Suppose the school can teach you mathematics. But who will identify about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the family. And I cannot leave this point till I tell you something. I cannot get it out of my system. I cannot get it out of my system because it is a good milestone. And every time I mention it, when I was living in Herndon, Virginia, it was a small family, Pakistani family. And they are young couples, and they have, may Allah bless, 4 children. And out of a blue sky, before I said this, the mother had that attitude. From the Maghrib to the Isha time, this is Allah time. From the Maghrib to the Isha, this is Allah time. The father sit down with the mother, and they have the books, some by Urdu, some by English, and they teach the Quran, and they teach tafsir, and they teach everything to their children.
All of a sudden, we heard that the man who was a young man, he died. And me and other brothers wanted to pay our, my wives, we wanted to go and to buy our respect to this family. And do you know what was the answer? After the burial was in the morning, says, would you be kind enough to come tomorrow? Because from the Maghrib and the Isha, I have to take over and conduct the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala time. And I am very new at it. My husband was doing it yesterday, but today I have to do it by my own. And I need the time. Would you be kind enough? May Allah bless her if she's still alive, or bless her soul if she's dead. Can you imagine what kind of a children came out of this woman and that man? She just buried her husband. And what is the main concern in her soul? Who will conduct the Allah time? She didn't say, what did he leave? I am young. What's going to happen to the children? Where are we going to get income? What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with that? The only thing that was occupying her mind is the Allah time between the Maghrib and Aisha. Who will take care of that? This woman, may Allah bless her soul. Every single woman can be it. And every single father can be it. And we're going to find out that that home that we are preparing, I said, it is to invite Sayyidina Muhammad to it. We all know Sayyidina Muhammad is dead. But I mean, invite the soul of Sayyidina Muhammad, invite the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad to our home, so when it comes to our home, we'll not be stranger. We're not going to be out of element. It's going to come the time that I talk about how Sayyidina Muhammad used to spend his day. He used to spend it to three categories. One category only belong to his family. Look after the affairs of the family and how to earn a living, how to solve their problem, how to take care of every one of them. And another, deal with public as a Rasul, as a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one third of the time as a abid lillahi tabarak wa ta'ala. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu alayha, when it comes to this, she said, when that time comes, he doesn't know us and we don't know him. When the time of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come, he doesn't know us and we don't know him. He doesn't want nobody to disturb him. He is already on his own. عَابِدْ لِلَّهِ تَبَارَكْ وَتَعَالَى. When the children see that, when the children see this category, they will do it. You are overoccupied. Every single one of us is overoccupied. But when and how you will have a time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you are billing out, when you are getting out, too late. You have to make time. You have to make time. You have to stop sometimes. You have to sacrifice sometimes and say, this is Allah time. I cannot compromise that time. You have to make that time. Your job is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn how to please Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking after you, taking care of you. And you are the one who need to take care of yourself by developing and sustaining your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, for that home, the Muslim home, has a certain characteristic. Some characteristic inside and some characteristic outside. First of all, the Muslim home must, not should, must be from halal, from lawful. All in it If you, whatever you get it, if you can buy a palace, if you can buy mansions, and it is halal, may Allah bless you. Who gonna stop you? But don't, please, don't go to haram to do or to buy homes, or go to haram to maintain homes or to spend on homes. Don't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. It is very big. وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ. You are saying, this is my livelihood, I have to do it. Allah is the provider, not the bank. And you come and say, I had to do it. What do you mean you had to do it? If you had to do it, if you have to do it, that means the null of will. And in Sharia, when your will is nulled, there is no reward or punishment. When I put a gun in your head and say, give me your wallet, that's a null of will. There is no will. You're going to give me the wallet. Does that mean you like to do that? No. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you, your livelihood depend on wrongdoing, He will allow you to do it. But that's not the case. That's not the case. You want to do what you want to do, and you want after that Allah to bless what you do. So you don't want to do what Allah wants you to do. You want to do what you want to do, and after that you come and say, Allah bless that. How? How is that going to work? It's never going to work. The Muslim home should be cleaned. It doesn't have to be extravaganda. It doesn't have the latest of everything. Because remember, part of the attribute of the Muslim home is what? Temporary. We are living here temporary. You get in the Muslim home what you need, but not what you want. Why? Why I shouldn't get what I want? Because there is an end to what you need, but there is no end to what you want. How many of us want a car, and you are so keyed up about getting this particular kind of car, and by the time you go to buy the car and you're way out of the dealership, you are thinking about another model, or how are you going to upgrade this, or why, how am I going to get a second car? Now I have a home. Okay, I want a beach home. How about little cottages in the mountains? How about this one for the summer? How about this one for the winter? Are we going to leave the spring alone? We're going to leave fall alone? There is no an end to what you want. But there is a definitely end to what you need. So what you see in the Muslim home is what? What you need, not what you want. Because if you're going to go with what you want, which is in a lot of cases it is halal, you are violating another theory in Sharia. It's called rizq, provisions. What does this theory say? Simply, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide the non-capable of earning money or earning livelihood through the one who is. What does that mean? That means Allah provided for you what you need, and He gave you little extra. Those little extra belong to the one who cannot work. Like children, like sick, like elders, like widows, like. So He is providing them through you. He gave you what you need, and give you also what they need. So when you turn around and you say, this is my dollar, this is innama ataytahu an ilmun min indi, that's a Qarun attitude. That's a tyrant attitude. Innama utitahu an ilm, this is my money, I worked hard for it, I, that's the time you are going to do what? Get what you want, not what you need. And what's going to be the expense of getting what you want? The one who is not able to get what they need, they will not going to get what they need. Because you already used it. You already used it. Inshallah, is going to come the time to how to identify this and how to work with it and how to know who is in need and who is not. Anyone comes into your knowledge or to your information that he is in need, there is a message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying what? Look after him. Why you got informed and the one next to you didn't? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the bad character, what he said? كانوا لا يحضون على طعام المسكين. كانوا لا يحضون على طعام المسكين. What did that mean? That mean even if they see a poor, they are not able to provide anything for him. They can say, Subhanallah, if we have it, we can give it. No. When you see him and you cannot do it, you go and find the one who can do it and you promote him to go and do it. That's your responsibility as a Muslim. وَكَانُوا لَا يَحُضُّونَ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. They never promoted the able to go and help the poor and the needy. So, in the homes, you should have what you need and it should be clean. Not having what you want, because what you want, there is no limit for. Also, in your home, should have a privacy and a protect the privacy, because we learn in our homes how to protect the privacy. And the privacy, there are two kinds. There are outside privacy, which is my neighbor's privacy. And there is a lot of talk about that, how to protect this privacy and how to do this and how to do that. And there is in-home privacy, is how the people should move, especially the children and the non-adult, how to move around in home, especially going to the, like, the bedrooms of the parents or the bedrooms of the adults. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us says, ask permission in three times. I'm not going to speak about it by details, but I just want to mention that the Muslim home, they have a privacy. So you, as a Muslim, entering somebody else's property, doesn't make any difference who is that person. Your first job is to protect their privacy. And the Muslim home should have his own privacy within the member of the household. Your neighbors, maybe they don't know who you are. They don't know what does Muslim mean, what does Islam mean, what does the Muslim behavior mean, and they don't have to. But there are two things that you have to guarantee to your neighborhood. One of them, you must, you don't have a choice. You must, I'm going to repeat it, you must be a source of mercy to your neighborhood. You look after your neighbor. And you must be a source of security. So, source of mercy and source of security. What is the difference? Is there any difference? Yes, there is a difference. Mercy means what? Preventing harm before it happens. When you say to Allah, Ya Allah, have mercy, that means stop that harm from coming to me. And that's different from the word in Arabic, Ra'uf. Ra'uf, that means what? The harm is already done. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَعُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Ra'uf, that means he's taken away the harm that they are having now. Rahim, and he will prevent the harm that will come later. So you have to be a source of mercy, that means no harm should be coming out from you. You prevent the harm from happening. And source of security and peace, that means you never have the intention. You never have the intention to harm anyone. Or you justify harming anyone just because they are different. So you suppose if you can help, you help. At least if you cannot help, don't be a source of what? Harm. That is the attributes of the Muslim homes. Okay. There are also some other characteristics supposed to be inside that home. The major characteristic for the inside, first thing, it can be in it a place, a specific, exclusive place for prayer. Have a place in your home, regardless how big or small, for a prayer. And let everybody know that this is the place for the prayer. Listen in Surah Yunus what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ. We inspired, manifested to Musa and his brother. أَنْ تَبَوَّأُوا لِقَوْمِكُمْ بِمِصْرِ بِيُوتَ. Go and have residence in Egypt to you and to your people. وَاجْعَلُوا بِيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. وَاجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And make, designate in your home a special place for prayer. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and perform the prayer. And وبشر المؤمنين, and the good tidings to, and the good news to, the sincere, genuine believers. So in your home, you have to have a place for the prayer. Also in your home, you have to have a library, a source of knowledge. Doesn't matter nowadays how that source of knowledge gonna come, in a form of books, in a form of videos, in a form of audios, in a form, whatever that is. But you need to have a library. What is the minimum requirement for this library? Number one, having a Quran and a good interpretation to it. Only one. Second, something to identify to us who is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, biography wise, and his sunnah. Let your children read. I promote them to do that. At least one book about lawful and forbiddens. At least another one book about the ethics, and about the aqidah, tawheed, and about the halal and the lawful and forbiddens. And also for that home. Everybody in it should get acquainted with listening to the Quran. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا إن الشيطان ينفر من البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. And he said in another, وقرأوا سورة البقرة في بيوتكم فإن الشيطان لا يدخل بيتا يقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. Let your children get acquainted with the Quran. Have a specific time to recite the Quran. Either you recite the Quran to them and listen, or you put a tape and make them listen. Muslim home is not the Muslim the home that it got a Quran in it and nobody use it. Muslim home is the one who has a live Quran in it. And you need to understand what is your obligation to Quran. Your obligation to Quran, that you read it every day, you understand it every day, you apply it every day, you memorize it every day, and you teach it every day. So you have a five major responsibility to the Quran. Let me repeat them. If you want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is you will do, the least you can do is to speak with him by his language. Speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his own words. And how are you going to speak to him by his own words if you don't know him? Read the Quran every day. When you read the Quran, that means Allah talking to you. Understand the Quran every day. Apply the Quran every day. Memorize the Quran every day. and teach Quran every day. This is your obligation and my obligation to Quran. And we have to make sure that it is done. This is how we can have a good Muslim home. And when you do that every day, what you're going to have in return? You will have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing every day. You will have Allah protection every day. You will have Allah satisfaction every day. Your heart will be happy every day. And you will have the guidance of Allah every day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. Don't deprive yourself from Allah's mercy. It is available. All you need to do, reach out and get it. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering and to bless our homes and our children, and give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life, so we can live in peace and we can die in peace. And inshallah, in the hereafter, we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna sayyidina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. We want to go for that project. Alhamdulillah, there is another masjid start the project. And that project is called inviting Sayyidina Muhammad to your home. We want to invite him to your home. When you have a dignitary coming to your home, what you do? You repaint the walls. You get rid of the bad things, the bad furniture. You get your landscaping, you started to take care of it. Why? And you have the best food in the fridge, and you have the best whatever. And you even you go and buy new clothes sometimes. And know if that's the perfume is good or not. Why? Because a dignitary is going to come to you. Okay, I'm not going to say anything, but what I'm going to say is this. We are inviting the message of Sayyidina Muhammad to our home. Sayyidina Muhammad can be dead or can be alive. It's depend on you. Al-ulama warasatul anbiya. The knowledgeable one, they are the successor and they are the one who inherit the tradition of the messengers and prophet. Invite the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad to your home and prepare that home for it. Get it ready. I'm not going to tell you repaint your home. I'm not going to throw away your furniture and get a new one and upgrade your TV and do this and do that. I'm not going to tell you that. But I'm going to say, at least when the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come to your home, I'm not going to feel a stranger. Gonna feel family, gonna feel home. That's your job and mine. And what is the first step that we can do? And it doesn't take much, but it takes a giant step to accomplish the goal. If every and any one of us today will commit himself, and I mean commit yourself, that you will never go to sleep before you make sure that you and your, whomever you are responsible for, perform the five prayers. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة. The first step to meet with, to meet the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad, the tradition of Sayyidina Muhammad, the spirit of the messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, halfway, make sure that you are praying the five times on time as possible, and everyone in your household is doing it. Promote them to do it. Don't please give orders, especially if you are the one who disobey orders.
How you can ask your child to obey orders if you are the one who disobeyed it? But I'm going to leave you with this. يا عبدي كن ربانيا تقل للشيء كن فيكون. If your heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your tongue is going to say, the voice is going to come different. The heart of the receiver will take it different. And if you want to know what I'm saying, go and ask anybody in the da'wah. Why the people love him? Why the people listen to him? Why the people obey him? And he's not the father, she is not the mother, he is not the uncle, and maybe they are not from the family. But why when they say something, it's done? Why? Because it is coming from here, not coming from here. They feel, they sense the love to Allah and to love to them. And this is the language of communication. Don't give up on your family because you are still responsible for it. Go and make sure. Listen to Sayyidina Luqman when he is talking, Ya Bunay, la tushrik billah. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Make sure that everyone in your family, and that's what the parenthood is all about. It's not a copy of you, but a copy of himself. The way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want him, and he is on the right track to develop his own character the way that God created him. And God wanted him. God wanted him with a conscience, help him to develop. God wanted him with piety, help him or her to be it. God wanted him to have the best ethics and manners, help them. God wanted them to be able to promote good and have and fight evil, help them to do it. Go home and invite Sayyidina Muhammad Sunnah to your home tonight. And start it by making sure, hug your child, let him stay, make wudu, come and pray with me and see what's going to happen. And never tolerate wrongdoing home. Never tolerate wrongdoing home. And inshallah, it's going to be another more continuation in this series. The time being, let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance, and ask Him for blessing, and ask Him to bless our homes and our family, forgive all our shortcoming and all our sin. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون عباد الله قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون وأقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استقيموا عفوكم الله straight your line don't leave gaps. You want the Zaza, please?